Our scripture reading for today comes from Hebrews 2, verses 11 through 15. The book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Let's set our eyes and our minds on this passage and begin in verse 11 of chapter 2, and we'll read down through verse 15. Hebrews 2, verse 11 begins, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children, which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." In Hebrews chapter 1, the writer shows that Jesus is far above. He is much greater than the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. But in Hebrews chapter 2, although Jesus is deity and far above the angels, this chapter shows that Jesus became a little lower than the angels. That's verse 9. But we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels, and he did this. He, though he was in the form of God, even though Jesus was deity and far above the angels, he became or was made a little lower than the angels when he became a man. And he did this so that he could be our great high priest and die for us as the perfect final sacrifice. So Hebrews chapter 2 then stresses the human side of Jesus, and Hebrews 1 stresses the divine side of Jesus. So in Hebrews chapter 2, this is where we pick up our study today in verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, "For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one." Who is the person that he mentions as he that sanctifies? Well, that has to be Jesus, doesn't it? And those who are sanctified has to refer to Christians. Now, what does he say about Jesus, the one who does the sanctifying, and Christians, the ones who are sanctified? Well, he says that both Jesus and Christians are all of one, and the Bible says, "For which cause he, that is Jesus, is not ashamed to call them, that is Christians, brethren." So, Jesus and Christians are brothers. We know, and we oftentimes talk about the fact that Christians are brothers to each other in Christ. But this passage says that Christians are brothers of Christ, in a sense. How is that? Well, because Jesus became human just like us. He experienced life in a physical body with all its feelings and with all its pains. And so, in that way, he is a brother to us. Notice also that he says in verse 11, and this is a very practical lesson for us all, that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. Jesus was not ashamed to do this. He was not ashamed to leave the perfect state of heaven and humble himself, to live in this feeble flesh, to suffer what he did, and to be treated like he was. Now think of it. This is like asking a king to leave his luxurious palace with all of its fine food and expensive clothes and all kinds of servants. It's like asking him to leave all of that and live a poor man's life where he has no house, he has very few clothes, and he certainly has nobody to wait on him and to serve him. Most people would be ashamed to do that. As a matter of fact, many people would be ashamed to live on an economic level which is far below what they're used to. But not Jesus. He wasn't ashamed to do that. As a matter of fact, an excellent commentary on this is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. There the Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. So the Bible says that Jesus is not ashamed to say that he became like us. He was not ashamed to do it, and he's not ashamed to say it. Now, in verses 12 and 13, the writer quotes the Old Testament to make this point. There are three passages, at least, that he looks at here in verse 12 and 13. Let's pick up in verse 12. He says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Now, that's a quotation from Psalm 22, verse 22. This is a statement that David made. And what David said was true about himself, but it also represented beforehand the relationship between Jesus and Christians. In other words, this is a kind of prophecy or a kind of type that is fulfilled in him and in Christian people. So the first quotation is from Psalm 22, verse 22. And again, I'll remind you that in the book of Hebrews, you constantly have the writer referring back to the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews will drive you back to the Old Testament to review and to refresh your memory about these things. And a person who doesn't understand the Old Testament, if he follows the book of Hebrews, will learn a lot more about the Old Testament because the two are tied together. And he makes constant reference to that old law. So this time, in verse 13, he's going back to another book of the Old Testament, and this will be the book of Isaiah. In verse 13, he says, "And again, I will put my trust in him." That is either from Isaiah 8, verse 17, or perhaps more likely from Isaiah 12, verse 2. And then he says, "And again," in other words, this is another quotation he's making, "Behold, I and the children which God has given to me." And that evidently is from Isaiah 8, verse 18. Now, let's go to verse 14, because here he builds on this fact, and he explains even more about how that Jesus became, in a sense, a brother to Christians. How is that? It's because Jesus became human. Jesus, our high priest, didn't tell us to do something that he wasn't willing to do. We have to endure living in this body of the flesh with all the trials of this life, and Jesus did this too. So notice in Hebrews 2, verse 14, that he says, "For as much then," in other words, based on what he's just talked about, how that Jesus became a little lower than the angels when he became a man, he did this so that he could die for our sins. He did this so that he could be our great high priest. And this was all foretold or prophesied of in the Old Testament. And so as a result, Jesus and Christians are in a sense brethren. As a result, in verse 14, he says, "Forasmuch then as the children," that is children of God, Christians, "are," as he says, "partakers of flesh and blood, he," that is Jesus, "also himself likewise took part of the same." This verse says that Jesus partook of flesh and blood. Now, notice a few things about this. Since Jesus partook of flesh and blood, in other words, since he became a man, since he was human, this refutes the old Antichrist heresy that is talked about and that is refuted in the book of 1 John and 2 John. What was the Antichrist doctrine? Well, it was the false teaching that said that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Jesus did come in the flesh. He did partake of flesh and blood. But it also shows that Jesus was not just some kind of spirit that people saw or thought that they saw. Because in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 40, the disciples saw Jesus, and they were afraid because they thought that he was a spirit. And Jesus told them to handle him and see, because he said, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones like you see me have." And so the Bible says that he showed them his physical body. But it also shows this. It shows that human flesh, the physical body, is not sinful in itself. The physical body is not sinful by itself because Jesus Christ had a body of flesh. Jesus Christ was in a physical body. Well, if the physical body is sinful in and of itself, then Jesus would have been a sinner. But he never sinned. And this shows that we are certainly not born in sin. Sin is not a condition of the body or the soul that you're born with. Sin is something that you choose to do. But on a practical level, this also means that Jesus experienced life in a physical body. A physical body just like yours and just like mine. He felt what we feel and he was tempted like we're tempted. This is why the writer is going to come back to this in Hebrews chapter 4, where he later talks about Jesus being our high priest. And he says in Hebrews 4 verse 15 that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But because Jesus Christ lived in a body just like yours and just like mine, this means that he experienced life as we live it. We find in the Bible that Jesus was born. He was at one time in the body of a baby. That body grew into adulthood. So he grew, he experienced human maturity from infancy to adulthood. We find that Jesus became thirsty. We find that Jesus was hungry on occasion. We find that Jesus ate food. We find that Jesus got tired. We find that Jesus slept. We find that Jesus felt pain in his body. And we also find that Jesus felt emotions just like we do. Jesus became angry in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53, verse 3. Jesus knew what it was like to experience fear or dread when he prayed the prayer, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me," in Matthew 26, verse 39. He's feeling that human emotion. Jesus knew what it was like to experience joy. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, he rejoiced in his spirit. So when the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that Jesus partook of flesh and blood, that means that he experienced life in that flesh and blood body, just like we experience the challenges and the sufferings and the pains and the temptations of life that come from living as a human being in this life. And so what he's going to do next is to talk about the primary reason in this verse as to why Jesus took on human form. And as he explains that, he's going to tie that into the fact that Jesus overcame the work of the devil when he became a man and he died on the cross. That was Jesus' reason for coming to the earth, to become our great high priest and to offer himself as the perfect and final sacrifice. And after all, that is the main point of this great book of Hebrews.